It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM.
Hey,
Hey, hi Sam.
How you doing?
How'd you enjoy that studio franticness?
Oh my god, it's so good. I love coming in and everyone's just like losing their mind. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to have a seat and have a long black and just watch what's going on.
It's fun, a beautiful long black.
Yeah, it's the best long black of my morning.
So what else have you been watching? What's been on your screen?
I've been watching a lot lately. I've been trying to like diversify my portfolio, as some would say.
Your portfolio.
But so today we're talking about DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So this is like a DC Extended Universe TV show. Kind of similar to how Marvel has Netflix and yada yada. And they've got all their stuff on Netflix. This is another one of they call it the Arrowverse because it all started with the TV show Arrow like six years ago
so
now.
It's like the Arrow universe.
Yeah, so there's Arrow, there's Flash, there's Supergirl, and there's DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Legends of Tomorrow is like it's a weird show. Like, I'm going to put out there, the concept is weird, the whole show itself is kind of a bit weird. So basically they're time-traveling superheroes that travel through time to stop people like messing up the timeline. So it's like Doctor Who meets like DC heroes. Like Hawk Girl from Justice Girl was in it. One of the Flashes was in it. Like, it's like they do kind of like all that kind of stuff.
Do they have other superpowers as well as time travel?
Well, they've got a time traveling spaceship.
Oh, okay, cool. So they don't try time travel, the spaceship time travels. Yeah,
And the spaceship can talk to them because it's got, you know.
Yeah.
It's all a bit campy and fun. So it's an ensemble cast. So it usually has like at least 6 or 7 members on the show at any one time, but it's changed every season. So like this season they lost like 4 people and now they've got like 3 more coming
lost
in.
Lost 4 people as in they were killed off on the show?
No, some of them just like go their separate ways or like take some time off or like, you know, they don't always kill off every character.
A rotating roster of superhero.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because DC has so many properties and has so many opportunities to grab from so many characters because they've got such a massive roster. So this season they've got Constantine, who is a really big force in the graphic novels. He's like a magic guy or whatever, and he had his own TV show a few years ago.
So wait, hang on. This was a graphic novel before it was a TV show?
Well, the characters are from graphic novels, but the idea of the Legends of Tomorrow, I think it's its own independent thing. It might have had its own comic itself, but it wasn't this team, and it wasn't this exact like makeup.
Storyline.
So Constantine had his own TV show, and he's now on the show because they've introduced magic now. So now they're going through time.
That's an interesting concept, crossing magic with
time
superpower.
Travel. And
because like I feel like those things are usually like you're magical or you got a superpower. You're not.
Yeah.
You can't have your fingers in both ponds or whatever it is.
Fingers in both pies.
Yeah,
Keep your fingers out the pond. Yeah. So now there's like magical creatures coming through time and ruining things. So already this season, there's been 4 episodes. We're on season 4, by the way, guys. Sorry, I should have said that at the beginning. We're on season 4. Talk about season 4.
Yeah.
They've had 4 episodes. They've been to Woodstock.
What?
To fight a unicorn. They went to Pilgrim.
Wait, the festival.
The festival of Woodstock, and had like Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and stuff in the show. Because this is how wild the show is.
Oh yeah.
And they fought a unicorn that gave people like hallucinations and stuff. It was weird.
That is such an interesting concept for a superhero show.
I know. And then episode 2, they went to Pilgrim America and they had to fight a fairy godmother.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. She was a bad fairy godmother. It's a whole thing. Makes sense when you watch the episode.
Yeah.
Episode 3, they went to 1970s London for the punk movement.
Oh.
Which was sick. And then most recently they went to 1995 America to a summer camp. So they did Wet Hot American Bummer, which is like a play on the Wet Hot American Summer. And they were all like adults in a summer camp trying to stop, like, I think it was like a vampire or something. I don't know. It's a very off-the-wall campy show.
Is each episode independent? Like you can dip in and dip out wherever? Or is it a chronological storyline?
Chronological storyline always culminates in like one big bad guy at the end of the season.
Okay.
And it's kind of hard because there is so much that's already happened. Like, I think they're on like their 70-something episode now. You know, like they've had quite a few. I watched the first season pretty religiously, and then the second season I kind of fell out of it. Mm. Haven't seen the third season.
Was that because it didn't catch you as much, or is that because...
Well, I was trying to watch all of them. Like, I was trying to watch Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and DC Legends of Tomorrow.
It's
4 hours of TV, And like, because all the characters are related, so like they do a big crossover event every year as well.
Yeah.
So all the characters will be in one, like they'll pop into each other's shows throughout the seasons and stuff. Yeah. And you've kind of got to be watching all of them at once to understand what's happening, if you want to understand what's happening in all of them.
Yeah.
But I've decided to like just try watch this one insularly because this one has the best reviews and it's kind of like the gold standard of these four TV shows.
That's interesting because usually like the further down a series you get, kind of the less people get into it or the less people are like, oh, that's such a good show.
Well, no, but that's the thing is Arrow's on its like seventh season and Flash is on its fifth and Supergirl, I think, is on its third. But Supergirl always had some shaky starts because it started on ABC. It wasn't on the CW with them. So it was a bit...
A bit of a different one.
Yeah, but Supergirl is really, really good if you're like a feminist into that whole storyline because she really focuses on that kind of stuff.
So is it weekly dropping episodes?
Weekly dropping episodes. It's on Neon at the moment, which is, you know, good. I've got one of those subscriptions, so that's...
Yeah, easy to get.
Easy to get. But yeah, so this show isn't really like about like the gripping emotional moments. There are some deep emotional stuff. Like it does... It's not always just like jokes and jokes and jokes and jokes. Mm. Like it does have like emotional through lines and everyone has like a really good understanding of their characters and their place in the team. And it deals a lot with like... Like, the punk episode, they used it as, like, an allegory to discuss, like, standing up for yourself and standing up for your own beliefs. In the episode...
Which kind of was somewhat what the punk movement was about.
Yeah, well, it took a character they've got named Ray, who's, like, the kind of nerdy guy, and they're like, you're not a punk, ha ha ha, whatever, because everyone else is kind of cooler than him, in quotation marks. And they used him to kind of explore the idea of, like, no, being yourself is way more punk than trying to be cool.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, it was kind of, like, a cool thing... It's a good episode. I really enjoyed it. It got really high reviews, actually. The show is really, really well-liked by critics. So if you want to give it a go, I think people should give it a go.
If it's well-liked by critics, then who knows? Worth a shot.
I enjoy it. I wouldn't say it's like in my top 10 of TV shows, but it is a fun thing to watch if you've got nothing else to watch. And right now, I don't know what is going on, but there's nothing coming out.
But you're also into like superheroes and comic books and stuff. Do you think someone who is not as into that would still enjoy it?
I think that would be a tough sell. Because I definitely think so.
Well, it sounds like though it's got different storylines, like Woodstock and stuff like that. That's not typical of a superhero TV show or comic.
Yeah, I think it just depends on what takes your fancy. Like, you might enjoy it for its comedy and like not even care about the superhero part of it. You might enjoy the superhero part of it. Or you might be someone that likes superhero shows that are like gritty and realistic and dramatic and stuff.
Yeah.
So it just really depends on what you like.
Yeah. And there's something else you've been watching.
Yes. Okay. So I want to talk about this, but it's not really like worth its own whole segment. But I've been watching House of Drag on TVNZ On Demand. So it's New Zealand's first drag show, kind of based off RuPaul's...
So it's in New Zealand, isn't it?
Yeah, set in New Zealand, based around New Zealand drag queens. You've got Wellington drag queens, you've got Auckland drag queens.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it's kind of based off RuPaul's Drag Race, which, if you don't know what RuPaul's Drag Race is...
Which really blew up when it came out. Like, everyone was like, oh, yeah. Oh,
well,
my gosh.
RuPaul's Drag Race went around for 4 seasons before it finally, like, hit its stride. And now it's got, like, 10 seasons, 3 spin-offs. Like, it's huge. And it won, like, it was winning Emmys. It's like, RuPaul's Drag Race is huge. This show isn't RuPaul's Drag Race. The show is definitely, like, its own... Not watered down, I don't want to say, but like it's definitely like a more, it's less length in episodes, and it's more focused on just like highlighting these queens, not as like, it's not as big a stage production as RuPaul's Drag Race, but obviously that's kind of indicative of how much funding stuff gets in New Zealand and stuff, but it's a really, really good show, and it kind of highlights some really cool stuff in our community that maybe we don't really know about, and also RuPaul's Drag Race is a big problem in that it doesn't focus on its trans cast members or has never featured drag kings or doesn't really delve into those things. And the show, I say Al as in like
New Zealand's
gay community, our community, this is the first show that's ever featured a drag king as a contestant on one of these shows.
That's cool.
So we're already blazing trails in our small little country, which I really, really like.
Yeah.
And a Hugo girl is actually
so is it
bomb.
The same concept though?
It's the same concept that it's drag queens and drag king competing to be the next drag legend, I think they call it.
Yeah.
But they don't lip sync in the show yet. And they're small episodes, so it's like less in depth. The one thing that I don't like with the show is that they touch on some emotional issues, but don't give them enough time to play out.
Yeah,
because it's trying to stick to a 23-minute run length.
It's very short, I think, 23 minutes.
I know. And also, this is a show that's online, so you can actually do whatever you want with it. Like, Netflix does this all the time, where they do like a 40-minute episode, then a 60-minute episode. Like, they dip in and out of lengths.
Yeah.
This show hasn't done that yet, but maybe it would benefit from just pacing and editing. But it's a really good concept, and I'm really glad that we're doing something like that in New Zealand as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm
so the first show, someone texted and saying, what's it called? That was Legends of Tomorrow.
Yep.
DC's Legends of Tomorrow?
Yep, DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
And then this is House of Drag?
House of Drag on TVNZ On Demand. Check them both out. They're both fun.
Cool. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks. See you later.
That was Viewmaster on 95BFM.